Now we begin with Iran's President Hassan Rouhani has warned the United States against reneging on its commitments under the nuclear accord between Tehran and the P5+1 group of countries. Let's listen.
The U.S. is fully aware that the JCPOA constitutes a recognized multilateral agreement, and any failure on the part of the United States in implementing it would constitute an international wrongful act and would be objected to by the international community. Any failure in implementing the JCPOA will further erode the credibility of the United States and the world. The lack of compliance with the JCPOA on the part of the United States in the past several months represents a flawed approach that should be rectified forthwith. Unfortunately, such illegal actions are not unprecedented. The latest case in point is the U.S. Supreme Court ruling to seize billions of dollars of the Iranian people's assets. This experience demonstrated that the Zionist pressure groups could go as far as having U.S. Congress pass indefensible legislation forcing the highest American judicial institution to violate peremptory norms of the international law.
Rouhani is speaking at a U.N. General Assembly in New York. He stressed that a nuclear deal, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the JCPOA, confirms the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear program and recognizes Tehran's right to develop atomic energy. He also spoke of the ongoing crisis in the Middle East. Rouhani said the 9/11 attacks led to wars and instability across the globe. He stated that conflicts have bred borderless terrorism that can be blamed on the policy of world powers. The Iranian president said the same countries that claim to be fighting terrorists provide covert and overt support for Takfiri groups. He also called on Saudi Arabia to stop its, quote, divisive policies and the spread of what he called an ideology of hatred.
Undoubtedly, if the region is to reverse the current dangerous trend into one towards development and stability, certain countries must stop bombing their neighbors and abandon supporting Takfiri terrorist groups, and while accepting responsibility, try to compensate for past mistakes. If the Saudi government is serious about its vision for development and regional security, it must cease and desist from divisive policies, a spread of hate ideology, and trampling upon the rights of neighbors, accept its responsibility for the protection of the lives and dignity of pilgrims, and construct its relations with the nations in the region on the basis of mutual respect and accountability.
Rouhani said Iran's principled approach calls for constructive partnership with its neighbors. He noted that Tehran is opposed to any kind of sectarianism. The Iranian president added that Shia and Sunni Muslims have lived together for centuries in harmony, and that attempts to turn religious dissimilarities into tense confrontations are rooted in the interests of certain countries. He said in order to uproot violence in the region, there's no choice but to focus on promoting democracy, human rights, and economic development. And joining us for more on the story is Mr. Nasir Al-Omari out of New York, writer and political commentator. Hello, Mr. Omari, and thanks for joining us here on Press TV Top 5 once again. Now, this ideology of hate that the Iranian president said the Saudis are spreading, can you please elaborate what you believe he's referring to?
Well, I believe that Saudi Arabia has turned all conflicts in the region into sectarian conflicts. Prior to the Arab Spring, there was hardly any mention of the Sunni-Shia divide. Even in places like Iraq, the government took over, and there was effort to put together a government, a national government. And all of a sudden, after the Arab Spring, Saudi Arabia founded the Saudi, the royal family in Saudi Arabia found it in its interest to turn Syria, Iraq, Yemen, even a place like Yemen, which had not known any Sunni, Shia, Houthi divide, all of a sudden everybody turns sectarian, and it's escalating, of course. And I believe that has damaged the Arab Spring, that has damaged all the nations in the region who aspire for democracy and freedom. So I understand what Mr. Rouhani is referring to, and I agree with him 100%.
And, a lot of Western powers have just sat back and let all of this unfold. They even support Riyadh and its policies in the Middle East. And even though, like a lot of countries and a lot of critics have said that these policies have had negative impact throughout the world, Why do Western powers continue to support a regime? They know, and this is proven, because you've heard people in Parliament, people in Westminster, people in the U.S. Congress starting to, you know, you're starting to see that dissension. Why do the Western powers still support Riyadh?
Well, you have to follow the money, so to speak, and there are deals with the weapons industry in the United States as well as in Europe, and these companies put a lot of pressure on these democratic governments to continue the arms sale to a country like Saudi Arabia. Where the weapons are used against the Yemeni people, a neighbor and another Muslim country. So, unfortunately, democracies in the West are not standing up for principle. They're letting the Saudis with the Wahhabi ideology penetrate countries where there was no sectarianism, like Yemen and like a place like Syria. The Syrian people are the most open-minded people in the region, and all of a sudden people are turning against each other, and I believe that is thanks to the Saudi ideology and Saudi media.
Thank you, Mr. Nasir Al-Omari, for your input, sir. Writer and political commentator joining us out of New York.